Shalom, everyone around the world. I am Stefan Yah on YahvahNotYahweh.name. And today we're discuss immersion, hope, some essentials, and idolatry, as well as weapons or tools. Now, I could start out by prefacing that part of it by saying that whether we discuss idolatry or Christmas, it's not to be used as a weapon. This is a tool that we have here to instruct us from Yahweh's word, and not our opinion, but his desire for our hearts. Whether we discuss the teaching of the covenant, the feast days, or Messiah's name, or the Father's name, whether it be about culture and music, it's not an attack on anyone. It's not a savage attack on anybody, but it's a sharing from our hearts and from the word of Yahweh, from Yahweh's heart and our heart to you. Whether it's a preaching or teaching or sharing or about walking with Yahweh, whether about the calendar, the new moons, the new world order to come and bondage along with it, whether it's about the tallit and the tzitzis, the Hebrew apparel, or some other wonderful thing to discuss that is in the word of Yahweh, whether it's talking about our spiritual virginity, the tokens of our virginity. No, these are not weapons. They are simply tools. And the most important thing, of course, other than love for Yahweh and for one another, is more important than love for one another is truth, the truth of Yahweh's word. There is a very dogmatic word that Yahweh gave us, and it's in the scriptures. Some people call it the Bible, but in the scriptures. And we just love this word of Yahweh. So sharing it today, particularly about the book of Romans now, as I would like to share some from the Hebrew paraphrase, the idioms and nuances, or just expressions. It doesn't necessarily have to be idioms of Hebraic or Greek or English or any other country or culture. Romans chapter 4. And if you read along in your American scripture, or the interpretation of it from a modern version, you might find quite a comparison. There's quite a comparison between the original text and the underlying Hebrew or Greek text intended to say. And I'm certainly not putting down the King James Version by any means, even though there needed to be a lot of corrections there. Sometimes you find that in some of the Messianic versions. So here in Romans chapter 4, it shall be credited to us who believe in Yahweh. This is in chapter 4, verse 24. And it would also help, I believe, to read from the modern versions, such as the King James. Let's do that first. So looking at Romans 4, and then, you know, what is the problem here? Is this mistranslated, or does it just need to be qualified? Do we need a paraphrase to further understand what Paul is telling us, the inspired word of Yahweh through Paul's writing? So I have the KJV in front of me, and now turning to verse 24, I believe it is, 4:24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Now let's read the paraphrase now. And for us it shall be credited to us who believe in Yahweh, Yahweh who raised up Messiah, Yahusha, our master, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our unintentional errors and violations of Torah, and who was raised for our acquittal and pardon. That's in in the paraphrase, or sometimes in another messianic version, or perhaps in the Tree of Life version, the TLV. But back to the King James, it seems confusing or oblivious. Now, once again, I'm not discrediting the King James in any way, but in the book of Romans, it really does need to be qualified better. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe, or what was that word, or credited to us, if we believe on him that raised up Messiah, our master from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, or in the paraphrase, delivered up because of our unintentional errors and violations of Torah. Those are deliberate violations. He was raised up again for our justification, or in the paraphrase, raised for our acquittal and pardon. To better qualify the word justification, acquittal and pardon for justification. Acquittal and pardon there. Unintentional errors and violations. And instead of imputed, we're going to think of the word credited to us. And then in chapter 5 now of Romans, and this was written probably from Corinth by the Apostle Shaul, and actually at this time, at least at this time, Shaul or Paul had not been to Rome. Peter probably never went there. But in chapter 5 now, for the King James, we say, therefore being justified, and in the paraphrase, therefore having been acquitted and pardoned by faith in his blood, or justified, acquitted and pardoned by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our master, Yahusha HaMashiach. I'm changing the King James there a little bit, obviously. They have different words, common words that we don't use anymore, such as the Baal word, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, it says. Okay, so then in the paraphrase by Hezekiah, Jews for Yeshua, therefore having been acquitted and pardoned by faith in his blood, we have peace with Yahweh through our master, the Messiah, Yahusha, or he put the word Yeshua, which is in the text, but here we have been using the Yahusha, and through whom also we have access by faith into this favor by which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the excellence of Yahweh's power and light. That was starting in verse 1, and the King James, let me see, if verse 3, no, we didn't get that far. Okay, that's fine. It does say, and if you're curious, not also, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And it should, certainly with today's modern world, that there are even normal tribulations going on around us. Just computer thing is a constant pain in the neck, tribulation. They're constantly changing and fouling things up. In some ways, trying to improve, of course, but by doing that, they leave behind the old, and then you got to upgrade, buy new equipment. There goes your $500,000, your 2 weeks or 1 month work that you put into the old system, and it all goes out the door, and something new has to be done. Or the troubles around the world, the earth birth pangs in the earth, the earth pangs or birth pangs, earthquakes and wars and rumors of war are happening in greater intensity. Possibly the food chain is threatened. Wages are going up, and so on. Some of these things have gone up and down through thousands and thousands of years, though, so it doesn't necessarily indicate that we should be that much alarmed. And alarming, or being alarmed, can be a good thing, by the way. It's just a warning. An alarm can be a warning. Come on, let's get better prepared. And we're doing that right now. Okay, Romans chapter 6 is next. We're moving just through some of these key verses today on this program about Yahweh's word, about immersion, and that the scriptures and the faith and the concepts that we share are not weapons, but they're tools of Yahweh to share with one another, share with the unsaved. They don't think they're heathen, and they might think that we act more like heathen than they, you know, in their opinion. Anyway, and so, you know, and possibly true for some people who are not filled with the Spirit yet, and who keep going back walking in the flesh. How do we deal with that? Well, that's another another problem, isn't it? Yes, a different one. Okay, Romans 6 then, as I said, what shall we say then? It says in the King James, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paraphrase says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to violate the Torah so that Yahweh's favor may abound? Back to the KJV, Yahweh forbid, of course, with the appropriate words here instead of the common words, Yahweh forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Paraphrase, okay, let's see, Yahweh forbid, where is this now? Oh, I see. For the fallen nature shall not have, no, that's not it either. I guess we're just dealing with verse 1 is all. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that favor may abound? But then, Yahweh forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not. I want to continue here. This wasn't going to be part of the study, but I'm going to skip here, but I'm going to keep going right now, I said. Know you not that so many of us were immersed into Yahushua Messiah, that they were immersed into his death? And then verse 4, that all-important one. Therefore, we are buried with him by immersion into death, or baptism, that like as, that's kind of a funny way, that like as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the majesty of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Halakha, walk. Or the path of life here, as Messiah was raised up from the dead. We are, you know, we have the example of Yahweh to follow. Then verse 13 looks key there. Certainly, neither yield your members to instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So that would settle the whole question there when some of them accuse us of being legalists and say that the law was done away with. Not all evangelicals or not all Protestants will have that accusation. When some of them say that the law was done away with, I think this is answers that. Neither yield your members for instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Yahweh. We have to yield, submit. What's the other S? Now I won't think of it, of course. Submit and surrender, the two S's there. Submit, surrender, or yield yourselves unto Yahweh as those that are alive from the dead and are members as, and your members, rather, as instruments of righteousness unto Yahweh. Now, here's something about the weapons here, I believe it is. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under unmerited favor. What shall we say then? Still the King James. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Yahweh forbid. So back to the paraphrase on that in verse 14. And this is just 14 here. For the fallen nature... No, wait a minute. Let's go back to King James. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. But the paraphrase with the Hebrew slant... For the fallen nature shall not have dominion over you now that you are under Yahweh's favor and no longer under the law of sin. And there in the King James, it's just you're not under the law. Well, which law? He talks about two or three different ones here in the book of Romans, and there's no way to differentiate at first notice, or first glance, I should say. So let's hear that again. For the fallen nature shall not have dominion over you now that you are under Yahweh's favor and no longer under the law of sin. Yes. And then Hezekiah, or Jews for Yeshua, has that concept there that they have taught us, that it's not under the Levitical temple sacrificial law that we are the schoolmaster that was to bring us to Messiah, the sacrifice of animals. As you remember back in Abraham's day, that first sacrifice was going to be Abraham's son, Isaac, but then turns out that the Yahweh provided a lamb. And then we have the lamb. Yes, the lamb of Yahweh, who was given to us from the foundation of the world to be offered for our sins. And that is the Messiah, or Yehoshua, some say Yeshua. Oh, and then reading on there just a little bit farther, I believe, and no longer under the law of sin, from slaves of Torah violation to slaves of Yahweh is the next caption here, from slaves of Torah. So here's the heading again, from slaves of Torah, we're at Romans 6:15 then. What shall we say then, because we're not under the law, but under grace, Yahweh forbid. King James, so in the paraphrase, verse 15, from slaves of Torah violation to the slaves of Yahweh. So, shall we violate Torah because we're no longer under the curse of the law, but under Yahweh's favor? Shall we violate Torah because we're no longer under the curse of the law, but we are under Yahweh's favor? May it never be. Or Yahweh forbid, it says, or G-O-D, Yahweh forbid, there in the King James. And verse 16, by the way, in the KJV, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, if you obey the servant of sin, if you obey Satan and the Babylonian culture around you, and the spokesman for it and their writings, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But here's the answer. We don't want to just be problem finders, but we want to be problem solvers. Yahweh is our solution. But Yahweh be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine which was delivered to you. Being now made free from sin, you have become the servants of what? The servants of Yahweh. Yes, but it says here, the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity, or another word would be weakness of your flesh. As you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, and even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto being pure. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Yeah, you don't want to do that, do you? You want to be free from righteousness? No, free from sin. And then he gets into, okay, what fruit had you then in those things wherein you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. But now, in the King James continuing, now being made free from sin and become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruit unto being separated, or kodesh, and the end, everlasting life. The end meaning the target, the goal. The object of all this is everlasting life. The word end there usually doesn't mean end in the context or definition we think of sometimes. Is, well, that's the conclusion of it all. That's the actual living end of it all or something. No, it doesn't mean that. Okay, at verse 22 then, in the paraphrase, we'll go to that now. For now, having been released from the fallen nature, in verse 22, but now being made free from the sin. Now, having been released from the fallen nature and having become slaves to Yahweh, you're now bearing fruit that is set apart to Yahweh with the end result, everlasting life. What was that? With the end, or the end result, everlasting life. and then, of course, the final verse that we've heard many, many times, hundreds of years. For the wages of Torah violation is death, but the sacrifice offered at no cost to us by Yahweh, the sacrifice offered is eternal life in Messiah, Yehoshua, our Master, and ultimate sin sacrifice. And of course, the King James, there in verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through Messiah, our, says Lord there. We don't use that any longer, the Baal word. So, no, it's not even supposed to be L-O-R-D, of course. It says in the text, Y-H-V-H, Yahweh. At least in the Hebrew text, it says that. The Greek, they probably, somebody took it out. Something, I don't know. The wages of Torah violations is death, but the sacrifice offered at no cost to us by Yahushua the Messiah is eternal life in the Messiah, Yeshua our Master, Yahushua our Master, and ultimate sin sacrifice. Next verse is chapter 7, verse 1. And in the KJ, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. And then he gets into the that part of the law that affects our marriage relationship with our earthly spouse. So, back to the paraphrase again, if you will. Romans 7:1 says, or do you not know, brothers, for I speak to those who know the Torah, that the commandments of Torah defining the boundaries of the covenant of marriage have dominion over a man as long as he lives. So that's a better qualification there from the paraphrase, that this seventh chapter of Romans actually is talking about the covenant of marriage and not just the law in general. What law? You know, there's thousands of different people's laws, different countries that always change. But Yahweh's law, he who is yesterday, today, and forever the same, it never changes. Yahweh's covenant, Yahweh's law, actually never changes. If we read from cover to cover in the scriptures. And, verse 6 now, as we go down the page here to chapter 7, verse 6 it is, of the book of Romans. First of all, here from the King James, and then the paraphrase will follow. And if I can, okay, there. But now we are delivered from the law. Oh, that's going to be really confusing. Let's see how he qualifies that. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, if I took that literally, to me it would mean that we're not going to serve by the oldness of the letter, by what? We're not going to go by the text any longer. We're going to go by that, just how it comes out of thin air to us or something, by the Spirit. No, he doesn't mean that, obviously. But here's what the interpretation better qualifies how that is. But now we have delivered, in verse 6, now we have been delivered from the law of sin. Aha! Oh, I thought he meant the Torah was done away with. No. We've been delivered from the law of sin, having died to that which had held us in bondage, so that we should now serve in the newness of the Spirit, or the Ruach, and not in the oldness of the letter. So then, Hezekiah asked the question, what is the oldness of the letter? In note, Romans 7, verse 6. This reference to the oldness of the letter is a Hebrew idiom referencing the tablets of the testimony, which contain the instructions on how to build the 10 components of the tabernacle, or the Mishkan, provided under the priesthood order of Levi for the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. The tablets and instructions, or instruction of which were added 430 years after the covenant given to Abraham, and which acted as a tutor to point us to the blood of Messiah's sacrifice that would ultimately come in its place, but after the priesthood order of Melchizedek. So, that we should not serve in the newness of the Spirit. Oh, excuse me, did I say not? That we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Therefore, in verse 12, therefore the Torah is set apart, or in the King James, how would that read? But now the Torah set up my goodness, sorry, verse 12, yeah. Wherefore the law is, King James terminology is holy, and that should be Kodesh, or set apart, or pure. Wherefore the law is pure, and the commandment pure, and just, and good. Oh, yes, uh-huh. And Paul says two verses later, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And he says, I rejoice in the law of Yahweh, just as the psalmist David said, as King David said, who was still in the grave. So the covenant of Yahweh, and then we have also here the covenant given to us through Moses, known as the Old Testament. And then we have the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 8 or chapter 10, either one, chapter 8 or 10, or Jeremiah 31 or Ezekiel 36:26. And I'm not sure that's in my study here, so I'm going to turn to that really fast, because this is so important, how they miss the mark so much in nominal Christianity. I don't know whether it was deliberate or what. Well, at least I came up with the right word. 36:26 in Ezekiel. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And that's where they stop. But he says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments. Feast days and so on in Exodus 21. You shall keep my judgments and do them. So this is all future. That is prophetic there. And we're going to keep the solemn feasts with Yahweh in his pure city coming up according to the scriptures, such as Zechariah 14. Okay, so back to this Roman study here. This is really excellent. I'm not bringing it out as clearly as I could. I've then rusty and went through that crazy flu deal that they had back then in the winter time. You know, we're still some of us still struggling with that, and you know, one of the best things was fasting, or at least staying away from the solid foods, and of course getting some fresh air, some sunshine if possible, and Sudafed. Secret there. Okay, the Torah is good. So let's continue on with the next verse here, Romans 7:13. That the Torah is good. Well, by listening to most Christian radio, the Torah isn't good, it's bad. And I don't know if I ever believe that or not. So the Torah is good. Chapter 7, verse 13 in the King James. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Yahweh forbid, but sin, that it might appear, sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Or at least Paul was carnal. Okay, Paul writing there from Corinth to the Romans. In the paraphrase now, and that is going up here to 12. The Torah is good. No, he says it's going up to 13. 12 says, wherefore the law is pure, the commandment is pure, and just and good. Okay. Has that then which is good become death to me? Absolutely not. But Torah violation, so that it might be revealed as sin, the Torah violation was producing death in me through that which is good, so that the violation of Torah through the commandment might be cast down and clearly exposed as the great wickedness that it really is. For, in 14, for we know that the Torah is spiritual, but that it was I was fleshly, having been sold as a slave to serve sin in a life that was out of alignment with Yahweh's instruction in Torah. That was from the paraphrase of Romans chapter 7. And some of these sentences get quite long there, with, you know, especially without punctuation, without commas and things like that. And if it's confusing to you, then there's several things you could do. You could play it again, or you know, look at the scripture again, Another thing you could do is just ignore it until it makes better sense to you. But maybe just, even if you don't understand, just keep listening, and sometimes you get the general gist or understanding of things. Anyway, even though if you don't know what the words, each word is about, so you just keep listening and then you get the idea. Okay, well, that's as good as I can do today. You know, I guess I didn't take that course on that part of hermeneutics. For I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man, Paul writes in Romans 7:22 and 23. But I see another law. Yes. Another law that was put on the cross and nailed to the tree at Calvary. Another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity, into the law of sin, which is in my members, or under the law of sin, which is in my members, would be better rendition. O wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then verse 25 is the frosting on the cake. I thank Yahweh through the Messiah, our master or maker. So then, with a mind, I myself serve the law of Yahweh. Oh, no, you don't want to read that in some of these places, Protestant places. And they're protesting not the former traditions of the Roman Church, but they're protesting the law, Yahweh's law. They're protesting his baptism, tithing, feast days, speaking in tongues. And they just are contrary to the law. As Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. It is not subject to the law, to the Torah of Yahweh. Neither indeed can be. So now I would like to read back there in chapter 7. We read the King James, for I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. And that statement was sure stand out in bright flashing letters. But here we have the paraphrase now. Verse 22, for I delighted in the Torah of Yahweh according to the inward man, but I saw another law in my body, the law of sin, warring against the law of my mind. The instruction of Torah, which brought me into captivity to the law of sin, which was in my body. Now the instruction, what instruction of Torah? Well, about the animal sacrifices. Not just hearing that it was wrong to steal. When I heard the tenth, the commandment that said, thou shalt not steal, then it didn't make me want to do it, just because now I learned that that was one of the commandments. I didn't want to go against it in any way. It didn't. So that's not, I don't believe that's what Paul meant, is that by the hearing of the law causes us to want to go out and break it. No, it should be that it helps strengthen us, and in a spiritual way, to want to grow and do wonderful things for Yahweh, not transgress, not break his law, not sin, not be a lawbreaker, not be anti-nomenian against the law of Yahweh. I delighted in the law of Yahweh. I do like the King James better there. I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man, just says her. And then we read 23. 24, O wretched man that I was, who would deliver me from this body of death? 25, I thank Yahweh that it would be through the Messiah, Yahusha, our master, the promised seed of Abraham, or as he writes, Avraham, with a V, correctly. So then, with a mind, I myself now serve the Torah of Yahweh, though in the past, with the flesh, I served the law of sin. In the past, he served the Torah of Yahweh, and then Paul, as he was writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit, wrote, I serve the law of sin. For some of you, I believe it should be present tense. I serve the law of sin. Yeah, excuse me. No, I didn't say that. Now I messed that up. I served the law of sin in the past. So present tense, though. But I now serve the law of Yahweh. Okay, he's got it right. I myself now serve the Torah of Yahweh, though in the past with the flesh I served the law of sin. Now, chapter 8. We're not going all the way through these chapters. We're just doing certain key chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3, and 7, 8, 9, 10, and then, okay. So beginning with Romans 8, free from the indwelling Torah violation, chapter 8, verse 1. Let's see how we get along with this. I don't know if there's any conflict here in the King James to speak of. Let's see. The law of sin and death is in verse 2. It made me free from the law of sin and death. So you know, we could qualify that better. It made me free from the law of sin and death. Yeah, same thing. There's therefore now no condemnation ending in spiritual death to those who are in Messiah Yahusha, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Ruach of life in the Messiah Yahusha has made me free from the law of sin and death. Then Romans chapter 8, verse 3. And what the sacrificial law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh of animals, Yahweh did. So the sacrificial law, the law could not do. The schoolmaster couldn't do it. But Yahweh did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of our violations of Torah. And he condemned and put to death the sinful nature of the flesh. Verse 4. So that the righteous requirement of the shedding of blood pictured in the sacrificial law for the remission of sin, for the remission of sin, and for the righteousness requirements of Torah might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the fleshly nature, but according to the Ruach, the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the desires of the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Ruach set their minds on the things of the Ruach, the things of the Spirit. 6, for to be sinfully minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. 7, because the fleshly mind is bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it is not submissive to the Torah of Yahweh, nor indeed can be. So then, those who follow after the animal nature of their fleshly cravings can't please Yahweh. 9, but you are not walking after the fleshly nature, but after the Spirit, if indeed the Ruach, the Spirit of Yahweh, dwells in you. And understanding that if anybody does not have the Ruach sent by Yahusha, sent by Messiah, then he does not belong to Yahweh. 10, but if the Ruach of Yahweh is in you, the body will still die because of Torah violation. If the Ruach of Yahweh is in you, the body will still die because of your past Torah violation, but the Ruach will bring you new life of the Spirit because of righteousness, both in this life and the life to come. And that's from JewsForYeshua.com. And there was a bit of a problem there in some of the modern translations, a failure to qualify which law they're talking about. So I really like this, how that the Jews organization here for Yeshua, in verse 8, they qualify that those who follow after the animal nature of their fleshly cravings can't please Yahweh. And the King James, or a modern version, let's see, so then they that are in the flesh can't please Yahweh. The previous verse, they are not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. Let's see. Let's check that one out. They are not submissive to the Torah of Yahweh, nor indeed can be. So then those follow after the animal nature of their fleshly cravings. And the King James, so then that they are in the flesh can't please Yahweh. So instead of in the flesh, he just used fleshly cravings, or animal nature of their fleshly cravings, which is really good. And verse 10, but you are not walking after the fleshly nature if Messiah is in you. You're not walking after the fleshly nature, but after the Spirit, if indeed the Ruach HaKadosh of Yahweh dwells in you. And anybody who does not have the Ruach sent by Messiah, then he does not belong to Yahweh. So there we have a quick verse reading through the book of Romans, and I hope you enjoy that one. here on the Yahweh, not Yahweh.com. That's www.yahweh, Y-A-H-V-A-H, not, N-O-T, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, .com. And then tying in with that is the tokens of our virginity. That does tie in with it. You might say that somebody might say I'm trying to forge these together a little too roughly or something. No, it matches pretty well. We do need these Hebrew accoutrements that Yahweh has required us to wear. And one of the very basic, very important cardinal places is Deuteronomy 22, where it namely talks about the earthly virgin woman when she marries a husband, and then he, in the first instance, he falsely accused her of not being a virgin. And then the parents brought forth the tokens of her virginity. Well, that was symbolic of the spiritual tokens of our virginity, of how we live our life, and also how we dress for Yahweh. That he says we're not supposed to be in strange apparel. And there's a meaning to that. Some would also use a verse that Yahweh doesn't, that Yahweh or G-O-D doesn't look after the outward appearance of man. Well, in fact, that's not totally taking everything into account, into the harmony of Scripture. That's taking that out of context. If we just read the one Scripture that says Yahweh doesn't look on the outer appearance, but he looks on the heart only, then he would have to ignore whether I went into a bank with a gun and robbed them of all their employment and money, or took somebody's life. He'd have to ignore all these external things, or the sexual parts of the adultery incident. He would have to overlook that, because those were all outward things. Or tithing and singing, these are all, and lifting our hands, those are physical things. Lift your right hand and show you're saved, or if you want to receive Messiah, lift your hand. No, wait a minute, that's outer appearance. Don't do that. Those are works. Don't lift your hand. That's what they would have to tell you if they were consistent. So it's not a question of semantics. It's not a question of that, but a question of obeying Yahweh's word. Oh, we came right down where the rubber meets the road on some of these scriptures that are just like Romans 6:13, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Yahweh as those that are alive from the dead, and your members in instruments of righteousness unto Yahweh. I don't have to convince you of that, but anyway, we have to be ready to help others. We don't convict others necessarily. The Spirit does that, but we try to convince others by the reading of Yahweh's word. If they don't want to hear it, then that's don't try to force that. Probably you're just it might help at least to. And I've seen people do this, and on some of these Christian movies, by the way, like Fireproof or Courageous or War Room, W-A-R, and then R-O-O-M. War Room, where there is a wonderful woman there who is a real prayer warrior. And it's a Baptist movie, but don't let that stop you if you're not Baptist. Whoa, that's, or if you already know how to pray, don't let it stop you. Watch that movie there if you think you could need a little boost about prayer and your faith. So anyway, the tzitzis, as we get on to a different subject entirely now, it would seem, but the fringes, the ribbon of blue. This is quite a blessing that Yahweh would like us to do, but some of us just don't want to do it, I guess. And we wear the tzitzis, the ribbon of blue, for the fringes, the foundational truth on men's apparel, and also women's, I do believe. I don't see very many women wearing these, but they... Okay, and wearing the tallit, pronounced T-A-L-L-E-E-T, but it's written T-A-L-L-I-T, and you could look that up, the Hebrew word tallit, and the tzitzi is the fringe, tzitzit. Those are both Hebrew concepts. In Matthew chapter 9, this is a New Testament concept then as well. And the Amplified Scripture, Matthew 9, verse 20, they call Amplified Bible. That is, they amplify and magnify some of the English words and make it more understandable, qualify it. It's like a paraphrase, only it's not just in somebody's words. Okay, it says, where do we find this out? Matthew chapter 9, and behold, a woman who had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him, behind Messiah, and touched the fringe of his garment. So there he had the tzitzit, the fringe. Now that's a Greek word of some sort. It was translated in English, but it says the fringe, it says the hem in King James. But of course, Messiah would have had the tzitzit because he gave us the law and he would keep the law. Not just in our place, but for us as an example. Right? Correct. The woman touched the fringe of his garment, and that was, like they say, if it's good enough for Messiah, it's good enough for me. And then Matthew chapter 14 from the Amplified Bible, 14:34, Matityahu, and when they had, and I am skipping a few words, it's not going to change anything, but when they had, in other words, begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were perfectly restored. So this is a very, very important concept. I could read that in the King James for you here. And one of our people here is going crazy. The dog out there with the tail, it wants to go outside, I guess. So hopefully my wife will take care of that disturbance going on there, which you probably can't hear, but it bothers me. She's going nuts. Deuteronomy 22 now about the tzitzit or fringes. And this is about purity, spiritual and physical purity in chapter 22. And it's about love and about not doing cross-dressing as well. Deuteronomy 22:11, Devarim 22:11, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts of woolen and linen together. And also, by the way, that's a fire hazard. Thou shalt make the fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. See also Matthew 9:21. Behold, a woman who had suffered from flow of blood and came up behind and touched the fringe of his garment. And also Zephaniah 1, verse 8. And then it continues there. If any man take a wife and go into her and hate her, in other words, he marries this wife, and they consummate the marriage, but then he doesn't like her for some reason. Now, that's not just for any reason, but mainly if she's brought fornication into the marriage. And he gives occasion of speech against her, bringing up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then the father of the damsel and her mother shall take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city and the gate. Yeah, that's just a commandment. So somebody would say, well, that sounds too impractical. So is it too much? Is it a small thing to ask Yahweh? Is it a small thing for him to ask us? The purpose of wearing the tallit is obedience to Yahweh and to show our obedience to others as well. But we are to wear the tallit and obey every command that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Let us walk as Messiah walked. Yes, yes, yet some, and even some messianics, proudly support the theory that this law was done away with at Calvary. That all these laws in here are done away with? Cross-dressing? You can shave a beard any old time you feel like it. They proudly sport their smooth-shaven faces. No tallit, no beard, no nothing. Well, no nothing, they'd be naked, but no kippah. Well, it's not so cute to Yahweh. He wrote Deuteronomy 22, and we must make tzitzit on the four corners of the tallit with which we cover ourselves. Zephaniah 1 verse 8, he says, I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel, meaning apparel that is not commanded by Yahweh. Numbers 15:37. And I've quoted this already in other programs in the past about beards and, no, not beards and barley, but beards and tzitzis and so on. We have a program even about that. How about that? So I've already done this, but quickly, Numbers 15:37. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, unto us, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that's all of us on the world, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. So a type of blue thread. It doesn't qualify how long it is, it doesn't how many knots, it doesn't say. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of Yahweh, and that you may do them. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go whoring, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be pure unto Yahweh. I am Yahweh your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim. So, for more information, go to my website, yahwehnotyahweh.name, about the, what is that, beards and what? I always have to look it up. There we go. It's called, and black hats, I guess, would be the black hats, exceptions to the rule. Beards, barley, and blessings. It was that. And also talked about Tikvah, the equinox, how to keep the calendar a little better, and the tokens of our virginity for the assembly. And also, this website I'm going to give you now is also helpful. On yourarmstoisrael.org, www.yourarmsisrael.org. Remember the disclaimer that no one has it all yet, so it will be in guarded all the time when you're researching my website or anybody else's. Also check out From Torah Faith, that itiswritten.com, and there's a presentation for those of you who have heard the crazy legend about the Bigfoot in the Northwest, and the itiswritten.com. There are a lot of good things on there. I'm not going to endorse everything 100%, but a lot of very helpful, encouraging things. And then around this about the holidays that the world, the nation, the world, the Gentiles keep, they keep Thanksgiving, they overeat on their feasts, and when Christ Mass goes by and the presents and the novelty is gone, they sigh and say, is that all there is? Peggy Lee once decried that. Is that all there is to life? She'd done it all. And is that all? No, there's so much. No, we wouldn't even keep Christ Mass or the pagan holidays or Halloween or New Year's, the pagan holidays, but we keep Yahweh's feast days, and as we do His word, walk in His way, and we feel so blessed, but we are blessed, and we keep closer to Him. And then the additional Jewish feasts of Hanukkah and Purim are, even in a New Testament concept, very representative in the New Testament of our salvation, that we've been delivered by Him, by Messiah, from the bondage of Egyptian and Babylonian things, and in general from Babylon. But these feast days are not to be kept as a replacement of Yahweh's feast days or with the common holidays, such as Christmas and Easter, Ashtoreth, and they're not a replacement for the scriptural feasts. I used to hear, before I knew about the word and the Hebrew side and everything, I used to think the Hanukkah was the only one that the Jews kept. That's all you'd ever hear. But they do keep more than that. Sometimes they'll even keep Sukkot. Hanukkah and Purim, But some of those who celebrate these things realize that Messiah has freed us from the bondage and power of a sinful nature, and we indeed are more than conquerors. Let us not be found living not by the word of Yahweh, but by, and not by exceptions to the rules and living by gray areas, but living by the Spirit. But not just, quote, living by the Spirit and not by the revealed truth and word of Yahweh, but by living by the Spirit and the revealed truth of Yahweh is in us as we study, not just read cover to cover, as we study His name, His word, and everything is so special and wonderful and important in Yahweh's kingdom. I am Stefan Yah. Thank you very much for joining us today on this beautiful day that we are keeping today, actually a Sabbath day. And also I tie it in a little bit, the lesson from small things. Seemeth thee a small thing that Yahweh asked you to do these things. And that's on the website as well in a separate file someplace. And it winds up with this, Psalm 119, or Zadi. Psalm 119, verse 137, under the heading of Zadi, the letter T, which has been changed a little bit in the King James. But it should be corrected. It should be Zadi. 137, righteousness art thou, O Yahweh. Yeah, they get that in there. I put the Lord word in. Somehow it didn't get replaced. That should be. And if you look in the original or in the underlying, it is YHVH. So even the computer tries to put it back, maybe. And upright are thy judgments, O Yahweh. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies forgot thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy Torah is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Praise Yahweh. Hallel Yahweh. Maranatha, may He come quickly and bless us all today. And we look forward to His soon and imminent coming. It could be soon and very soon. Keep your eyes on Yahweh, on Yahweh's word, on the Messiah and His word today. And let it keep you. Let Him keep you, rather. Shalom.
If you're looking for the Father,
yes, Yeshua is God's anointed.